Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
इस साल की प्रैक्टिस है वकील साहब, आपकी तरह घुमा के कान नहीं पकड़ूंगा, सीधे पकड़ूंगा, कस के पकड़ूंगा।
व्यक्तिगत मामले पर उल्टा सीधा कुछ नहीं सुनूंगा मैं, वरना
क्या बाटा का जूता पहनकर टुच्ची सी टेरिकॉट की शर्ट पहनकर साला हमसे जबान लड़ा रहे हैं?
मैंने ऐसा कुछ नहीं किया।
ऐसा कुछ नहीं किया, भरे कोर्ट के अंदर थप्पड़ मार दिया इनको, अब क्या आरडीएक्स लगा देगा इनके नीचे?
Hello listeners and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. This is your host Aditya and I have with me, I'm very glad to announce, Mr. Sagar Hiren Desai. The legend has finally made it for his podcast debut.
Hey guys, thanks Pish, and really excited to do this for the first time with Pish. Was hoping to get on his list earlier than this, but clearly... looking forward to speaking with you guys about this movie.
Yeah, so the topic for today is Jolly LLB 2, which we are a couple of weeks late in doing this than usual, for various reasons, which we'll get to in a little while. But Jolly LLB 2, which is a sequel to Jolly LLB. So Sagar, I'll let you go first. What did you think?
I thought the movie obviously had a very important message for India and Indians, essentially around the disappointment a lot of people face in India, in our law systems and processes. So overall, of course, the message was definitely crystal clear to almost all the audience that was watching it. That said, I thought that there were many parts that could have been improved, especially in terms of acting, especially in terms of how the movie was developed, especially in terms of tightening up the storyline. So in those areas, I didn't think the movie was well done. So overall, I think I'd give it a 3/5. When I came out of the movie theater, I felt like it was a good movie and I could watch it on a lazy Sunday afternoon or something along those lines, but I wasn't thrilled by the movie, or I wasn't super impressed by the movie.
Yeah, I think a lot of the fears I had when this movie was announced and after I watched the trailer ended up being true, because the first one was a really nice, really well-made movie, and it was a small film, but it kind of stayed true to that and like focus really closely on the content and on the narrative and how the story is told and on the message. Whereas here, everything is a bit kind of all over the place. It's also not like a really big, massive blockbuster movie, but because there's Akshay Kumar, they try to, bring in these elements which are really, which end up just being caricaturish in the end.
Yeah, exactly. And very similar. I thought in a lot of parts, the movie was kind of disjointed.
Yeah.
For example, when you think about Akshay Kumar, when he returns from the hospital to his house, as in he's in a wheelchair, and then suddenly after that he starts, I think, having fun and dancing around a little bit with his wife and the kid. So you just wonder, how did that go from sitting in a wheelchair to started to dance around with the wife and the kid.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of things that I felt were very sloppy. And for listeners, just if you're still here, we will do probably minor spoilers, but try not to reveal too much. But I think especially towards the second half, the whole plot and the narrative just kind of spiraled out of control and it became a bit ridiculous. And then there's this one sequence which really annoyed me, where in order to pretend a witness from giving his statement, Anu Kapoor, who plays the opposing lawyer opposite Akshay Kumar, does a dharna in the middle of the court, and he just sits down. And then Saurabh Shukla, who's the judge, goes and also does a dharna on the other side with him. And then they both just sit there for 12 hours. And then the judge gets up and is like, okay, let's continue. And I was like, if you were going to do that anyway and you didn't care that this guy was sitting there, why didn't you just do that in the first place?
That was exactly my question when he stood up and, you know, started to, you know, start the case again, essentially. And I think the one thing I would say, though, as in around that point was perhaps, you know, both of us or, you know, a lot of people like us can't appreciate that kind of humor, but I do think that kind of humor does sell very well in India.
But
and if you want to deliver,
but sorry, I didn't find it funny. I mean, like, so there are a lot of other bits of slapstick humor which are really funny, like when he comes in and he's dancing to Gulabo because he's practicing for his daughter's wedding, and when he's correcting like the invitation card. All of those things, like, I found really funny. But this kind of, and this was supposed to be this like really clever thing, because the guy was like, oh, look at this lawyer, he's done this, now the judge is on vacation for 2 days, so this guy's written a statement won't be taken. So they tried to make it seem like it's some like really clever plot that Anu Kapoor has come, when he's like done nothing, and then nothing comes of it either. So
true, yeah, I buy that. Even like Anu Kapoor's role, when you think about it, he was the classic stereotypical opposition in a Hindi film, as opposed to actually making some very good arguments, actually, you know, trying to fight the case with a lot of sincerity and valid points. He was of course teaming up with the cop who was actually at fault, and it was just so. I thought it was very typical Hindi movie where the lawyer is, you know, on the one where the opposition is on the one side, and the good guy is now trying to win over that opposition.
Yeah, and I mean, I like the fact that they tried to at least make Akshay Kumar's character have some kind of shades of grey. Like at the start, you know, he goes through this big, he has to basically do something really bad in order to properly become a lawyer. And that's something that they introduce and is supposed to be kind of his driving force, or that the guilt of that is supposed to kind of push him to want to fight for justice. But that never really, apart from when they first introduce it, that never really comes across. He just goes from being like, shit, what did I do? To then just being like, okay, let's fight this case and just, you know, make
exactly.
And on that note,
and
as
even
well,
when,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. No, even when Hina comes to, you know, reveals
him.
That he has exactly comes and reveals the fact that he's actually lied. To both his wife as well as his dad, there was no reaction, no major reaction from his wife as well as from his dad, except that the dad said, "Okay, don't see me." I think he was just disappointed in his son. So I personally felt like there had to be a little more. I think a little more drama would have been better during that particular frame, because we didn't see any emotion on Akshay Kumar's wife's face at all. She was just like, okay, business as usual, let's go back.
Yeah. On the dad, I think they actually did a bit, because he has to go and apologize to, you know, this boss who Akshay Kumar's dad has been working for the last 30 years. And he gives that whole speech about, you know, tumne meri beizzati karwai, etc. And he basically disowns him, and he only comes back after he gets shot. So I think that much was fine. But yeah, his wife, which was Huma Qureshi, we also got a listener comment to the same effect, saying, can you please address the fact that once Hina comes and confronts him and reveals what he's done, there's absolutely no response from Huma Qureshi. Like, there's no anger or disappointment or anything. She's just like...
Exactly. Yeah. And I found it even more shocking, because the filmmakers didn't use that moment well, because Hina was pregnant, at the time, and only a woman is able to understand what a pregnant woman probably goes through.
Correct.
And especially when, you know, when she's also dealing with other problems that you know, that are exclusive to her and her life. So I think they could have definitely used that moment in a better way to really show how disappointed his family members were after they found out that he had lied.
Yeah, I mean, on that topic in general, the character of Huma Qureshi was quite useless in this entire script.
True.
There's like one scene where she supposedly makes some discovery, but I mean, any like we were discussing before, right? Any character could have done that. I also wish they had actually kept Hina's character throughout the movie instead of just introducing her and then not having her for the rest of the time, because I think the way Akshay Kumar mends that relationship and gradually wins her trust and faith would have been a more interesting arc and an interesting thing to watch than him just saying, okay, I'm going to fight this case and that's it.
Yeah, and in fact, even if
and
we
she is a better actress, I think, than Huma Qureshi.
Oh yeah, I think she did a really good job when she confronted Akshay. I think the way she was crying and, you know, the way she made her points, I thought it was completely on point.
Yeah,
and in fact, I feel like, you know, to your point, right? As an if she, even if she had, you know, she left the movie midway, I didn't think they used Hina's dad enough. Like they could have, you know, when he approaches Hina's dad for to make that, you know, to make that suit for him. After that, the dad just completely disappears. Or not completely, but like almost fully disappears from the movie. And I thought, you know, towards the end, they could have brought in the dad and a lot many other characters also, you know, to show how he has won the trust, how he has won, regained their trust, if you will, after going through this journey.
Yeah, agree.
And on Hina's, on just Hina, I also thought, like, I thought they could have shown the part around where, you know, they get married and she gets married to her husband, and all of that came in only, I think, midway in the first half of the movie. While I thought, I was, at least for me, I was wondering what was actually happening for the first 15-20 minutes.
But
because
I think,
we didn't
I
know
thought,
exactly.
I thought that was okay. I mean, I thought that's part of the reveal, right? You're wondering why it happens. What is... Yeah, the whole thing of then explaining the backstory is done like very rushed. Like Akshay Kumar looks at a file and he suddenly knows exactly what happened. Like to every last detail, where this happened and all of that, which was a bit kind of... It was a bit of a shortcut, I feel. Like they could have done a bit more with that. It could have been him actually trying to figure out and piece things together. And now he doesn't have Hina to help him. Whereas, you know, if he had just been honest in the first place, he may have already been able to solve the... or get all the facts he needed for the case much faster.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, very good point, actually. Yeah.
And in terms of this whole search for evidence is also... There's this one bizarre scene which... And this is, you know, to the point of a lot of the comic relief. It's probably one of the scenes which might have worked for large parts of the audience but did not work for me. Was this one scene where he goes to seek this Guruji, who is Sanjay Mishra.
Oh, damn, yeah.
Is this guy in Banaras who's organizing a cricket... a cricket tournament, which is a front
for
a betting ring. And on the one, at first, when the scene first comes into play, I was like, okay, this has a potential to be something like interesting or progressive or funny in some way, because it's like a women's cricket match and it's like, what is it? The Gungat 11 versus the Burkha 11.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from
and
the initial...
Like scantily clad, clad men who are just watching at them for some reason.
That whole scene was just bizarre, and it was again just, it came, the scene happened and then it was just over. And then they're sitting in a boat with this guy and talking about FIRs and all of this, which was again just there for no reason. I don't know.
And even like, you know, around the same point, a lot of the scenes were automatically felt like they were forced forced on the film as opposed to natural developments in the film.
Yeah.
It was just like different frames taken together and pieced together so that it becomes a movie as opposed to the film developing frame by frame.
Correct. I agree.
The one thing that I also thought, you know, that could have been done better in terms of acting was, even though Akshay Kumar definitely, I think, did a decent job in playing the role, I think the film could have been much better if they had developed his role further when he, like, towards the end, because around the same point, right, as in, once he won the case, I don't think there was any acknowledgement by, say, Akshay Kumar's former employer, you know, Rizvi Sahab.
Yeah.
There was no acknowledgement by, as in, there was some crying at the end after he wins the case.
Basically, the end of the movie stopped focusing on the characters. It just became very preachy. Like,
exactly.
Both Akshay Kumar and the judge, one by one, gave these long monologues about courts and justice and that, and that was it.
Yeah. And I get the fact that, you know, they should be doing it because especially this kind of a movie appeals to a lot of audience in India. And it would be very important to deliver this message, you know, emphatically. That said, that shouldn't be compromising the, you know, the quality of the movie or the way the characters are acting in the movie, which I think this movie did quite severely, where they just focused on delivering the message as opposed to actually making a good movie.
Correct. I fully agree.
What did you think of? I was just wondering, what did you think of Saurabh Shukla? Sorry.
Yeah.
sorry, my bad. Yeah. The judge. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, even in the first one, right? The judge is basically there just to provide comic relief for the most part. And I actually quite enjoyed his character because he, like, a lot of his back and forths with Anu Kapoor especially are, like, really funny, right? Where he's, like, trying to keep calm. And he's like, nahin, like, aisa nahi karna chahiye. Like, mujhe mat batao, like, kya karna. And he's like, where he keeps being like, you know, like, you guys all think, like, I'm an idiot, but I actually know exactly what's happening. Like, I quite liked his character, actually. I think that's one of the few elements of the first movie that they've retained quite well. But yeah, what about you?
I thought he, again, is the same thing, around the same lines. I think he was quite funny at times, definitely. Like, you know, in fact, you know, I actually liked that whole dharna scene where I kind of found it a little funny that, you know, that both of these guys, you know, sit down for dharna until like 12 o'clock. That's it. I take your point. Like, you know, at 12, they just randomly decide to, you know, restart the case, which doesn't make any sense.
But anyway, I also, in terms of other characters, I also feel like they underused Kumud Mishra, who was the cop. Like, they just kind of established that this guy's a crooked cop and that's it. Like, they didn't really do a lot more with that. And he's a very talented actor, so they could have done quite a bit with that to show a bit more of that backstory as well. And, like, how, because even, I mean, there's this one whole social message around the courts and the justice system and all of rich, influential people getting out of, you know, doing criminal activities. But there's also another whole social message around this whole concept of encounter killings and how the cops sometimes, for their own purposes or for publicity reasons even, will kind of fake encounter killings or kill innocent people to stage situations. And they just kind of use that just as a plot device to move the story as opposed to going a little more in-depth into that. And I feel like if they had done a bit more of that and a bit less of some of the court parts even, that would have been more interesting.
Yeah, and you know, as in just thinking through that point, cops don't do like a fake encounter all the time, right? As in there are reasons why sometimes cops have to take the route of fake encounter to prove something or to fight a case, you know, diligently, something along those lines. So I think they could have definitely explained both sides of the issue as opposed to just leaving it to that, you know, these cops are involved in a fake encounter and then they an innocent guy gets snapped for it, or gets shot for it.
No reason. They don't establish any reason or thing as to why they would do this.
No, I think they did. Where, you know, I think one of them said, right, as in that that the cop actually. Sorry, what's his name? Kumud. Forget.
Oh yeah, they get paid off, right? Too.
Exactly. I'm sure they're getting paid for that fake encounter. So I think that's what they wanted to bring out. That said, isn't there are sometimes cops have to do a fake encounter for other issues, which are in fact good for the society as a whole.
Correct.
I thought, like in terms of just enhancements that I would probably do or make to the movie, I was wondering the one thing I thought that was, and I don't know how much validity there is to this point, but like, you know, by showing the Indian judiciary in a poor light all the time, and you know, and the way I think this movie definitely I think exaggerates that a little bit by showing how the judges don't care whether the case is being fought or is proceeding, etc. I think sometimes we go a little too far in accusing the judiciary, because when you think about it, as in you know, I think the judge makes that point at the end, right? And there are there's one judge per 1 million cases, if I'm not wrong. That's the stat. That's
some crazy number like that, anyway.
Exactly. And sometimes it's not because the judges don't want to clear those cases or that the judiciary is not functioning well. It is also not. It is not just a function of the judiciary being incapable. It's also a function of just the population numbers, right?
Yeah.
So for a society like India to have a sustainable and a judiciary, you need to have the right processes in place to ensure that that the judiciary is functioning in the way it should. And I think sometimes we take it a little far where we keep accusing the judiciary of how ineffective it is. But the truth of the matter is, or the fact of the matter is, that it's just how the population numbers are in India. And if you don't increase the number of judges, or if you don't make giving judgments faster, then automatically you're going to have a system that's going to get clogged.
Yeah, it's, I mean, interesting that you bring that up, because this obviously this movie has been in the news very prominently for a lot of the court cases that it has itself been the subject of. And in fact, a bunch of the lawyers actually sued the makers for depicting the profession of lawyers in a poor light. I actually don't think, given that backdrop, after watching the movie, except for that, I don't think the judge or the judiciary was really shown in a bad light. And especially once at the end, they gave that whole speech talking about what a tough job it is and how terrible the processes are. I didn't find that as being an issue. In terms of lawyers, I thought there was slightly more validity in that. I thought lawyers were shown in a pretty bad light. Like even the Rizvi Saab was supposed to be like really respected. Like Akshay Kumar is like, you have to do these three things. And he's like, what is this? So why are you making me do so much? I'm going to do one. And then the very, very last scene after the judgment was, if I was a lawyer, I would be like highly offended by that scene where Akshay Kumar is stopped at a signal and someone is washing his bike, and he tells him to like, oh, you know, you missed that spot, make sure you get that properly. And then he doesn't pay. And someone is like, sharm nahi aati hai. And he's like, bilkul nahi, main vakeel hoon. I'm like, why would you, why is that your thing of being a lawyer?
No, exactly. And I was just wondering why he did that. Like, there was absolutely no logic to that. As in, I could see the logic that, you know, he was essentially returning that favor to him. And I get that. But, like, I don't know if that is the message that the movie wanted to convey about lawyers.
And it just, like, stood out from the rest of the
scene. Yeah.
Like, it was just random. They just put it there.
Yeah, it's just random.
They're like, we don't know where to put the scene, let's put it at the end. But yeah, the other controversy of sorts this movie had, or the other court case it had to face, was it got sued by Bata. Because
yeah.
Which I found really funny as well. Which there was a, for listeners who don't know, there's a line which was in the trailer where Anu Kapoor like is disparaging Akshay Kumar, and he, the full line goes something like, you know, tuchhi si t-shirt pehen ke or Bata ke joote or something. And from what I hear, the Bata makers were not that offended by the line itself, but in the English subtitles in the trailer, the subtitles don't say Bata, they say cheap shoes. And so then they're like, okay, Bata is being used as a very clear this thing to like, to disparage, yeah, and this thing. And so yeah, so in the, at least in the cut that I watched in the final, this thing, they actually changed the dialogue to Fata Hua Juta instead of Bata Ka Juta. Which I thought was funny.
Oh, dude, these subtitles are the best. Sometimes the way they translate everything.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know who does it, but I'd like to have that job.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting how in the recent times, I think we are seeing a lot, I think a lot of movies that around the theme of the judiciary. When you think about, you know, Chaitanya Tamhane's Court, which was, I think, in 2015. I don't know if yeah, you've, if you got the chance to watch that.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen, saw and, that recently, or, actually, on Netflix. Or,
oh, wow, okay. And, or even Pink, Amitabh Bachchan's Pink.
Yeah.
I think, of course, Pink's, Pink was delving on both the limitations of living in India as a woman or a working woman, and of course our archaic judiciary.
Yeah. And I mean, so, there's also of course Talwar between that as well.
Yes, even Talwar, exactly. So I think we're seeing a huge sort of a good number of movies around the theme of just judiciary in India. And I thought this one, this particular movie is the one that actually will reach the masses the most. Of all the recent movies that have been released,
correct,
I think this one really, and which is why I think it was important for them to give that message out, even though it took like 3 to 4 minutes at the end. I thought it was worth giving that message out in the movie at the end, because this is a movie that really, really I'm assuming it would appeal to a lot of people in India.
Yeah, I fully agree. And on the one hand, I would say it's surprising that there haven't been more movies in the past, because just even if you exclude the specific problems of the judiciary and etc., like courtroom yeah, dramas in general are like a very popular genre, even in the US or in the UK.
Yeah.
But in India, like there haven't been that many for a lot of years until now in the last few years.
I think it's also to do with just a little bit of censorship, because you know, as you may know, I think even with this movie, right, isn't
correct,
you already have seen a slew of cases that have been registered against this movie.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, like, even if you, you know, if you offend any party, there would be, you know, a deluge of cases against the movie and against the producers and the directors and whatnot. So I think a lot of people, at least until very recently, they were
censorship, basically.
Yeah,
to avoid
exactly
all these issues.
Exactly, exactly.
But yeah,
the one thing I was also kind of wondering. I thought the character of Birbal, you know, the
his assistant,
Akshay Kumar's, yeah, because Birbal was a lawyer and B, working with Akshay, I think he could have done more in the film than what he just did. Like, he just arranged that meeting in Banaras and that's about it. I thought, like, instead of Huma Qureshi finding out about the fifth guy at the wedding,
yeah, they could have made him a proper sidekick, basically.
Exactly,
and
exactly
have them solve the case or figure out the case together.
Exactly, because he was the one who actually helped Akshay set up the chamber and set up, you know, his own office and all of that. So it makes logical sense to continue his role as that, and, you know, in him helping Akshay solve the case, which I don't think happened at all.
Yeah, fully agree. Fully agree. Of course, we can say all of this stuff, but in terms of box office, Akshay Kumar has yet again kind of nailed it pretty much. We're a week and a bit past the release now. It's approaching 90 crores, will hit 100, which will be the fourth consecutive 100 crore film for Akshay.
Wow.
Which in itself, like, he's just made an art of this. Like, he's mastered the volume game. Like, all these other big guys, Salman, Shah Rukh, they'll make one movie a year, and yeah, it'll do like 300 crores or whatever, but they'll also be made on a budget of 100, 120 crores. Akshay will make like four movies in a year, each of a budget of like 25, 30, maybe 40 crores, and they'll all just do 100 crore. Somehow, and he also kind of balances between genres. He'll have like one Houseful 3, but then he'll also make two movies that are meaningful or have some message.
Agree. I think he did a fantastic job in Airlift. Like, yeah, I was so impressed.
Exactly.
And like, I think Akshay, as in, perhaps I'm biased here, but I also feel like Akshay is very, he's probably his stature and his way of, you know, portraying himself in any character. He automatically feels very, very familiar. Yeah. I think as a person, he comes across as someone whom I can relate to.
He's very sincere. Like, he's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, there is no air, and I don't think he even tries to appeal to a different kind of an audience. He's very happy and satisfied in the audience that he's appealing to. And I think he's very sincere about it.
Yeah, no, I think he's really smart. He knows exactly what works for him. And he goes kind of and hits that really hard. and repeatedly. So it's working for him. Speaking of Akshay Kumar, the only trailer we have to discuss is not an Akshay Kumar film per se, but is related.
Sorry, Fish, but can I just add one last point?
Go ahead.
Sorry. But like, so I had noted this down, you know, when I, after I finished watching this movie, you know, the very initial scene where Akshay Kumar helps school kids with their English exam. I think even though the movie didn't really focus on that, I thought in a way it was good that they highlighted that, because it's important for people to realize that, you know, if you do really want to, you know, if you do really want to succeed in your careers and, you know, or like really build a civil society, you also need to start from the very beginning. Like, you can't be complaining about the problems that India faces unless you are willing to solve the problem at the primary school level. And I know it sounds a little off the topic, but I thought it was important for people to realize that, you know, if the kids are going to be fine cheating on an exam openly, then products of that country are also going to be in the future just not as useful to the country, or just not as effective in their own effective or even satisfied in their own lives. So I thought, even though the movie didn't focus on that, it was good that they pointed it out, how sometimes in very small villages, you know, schools can function in such a dilapidated manner, in a way.
Yeah, and I fully agree with the point, but I think the way they did it again was very disjointed, right? I feel like I didn't remember, like, when the movie starts with that, and I was like thinking, what is happening? But I completely did not remember that scene at all until you mentioned it, because it just gets overshadowed by everything that happens.
Exactly. Since. Yeah.
And I watched the movie yesterday. Right.
So, yeah.
I feel like there are so many, all these things about Akshay Kumar's character and the transformation, right? Like, he does that, he kind of scams Hina at the start. He's okay with giving answers to exam papers to get extra cash. Like, this, his transformation from being a guy who has a kind of questionable moral compass to being someone who is now fighting for rightness and justice and...
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just, it is, instead of just being a switch, they should have actually showed that progression.
Correct. Okay, now we can go to the vaccine. Sorry to hold you back on that.
That's
one.
Fine. No one has ever done research before coming on this podcast before. So the fact that someone has done that is makes me feel good. But yeah, Naam Shabana, which is a spin-off of Baby, which was a Akshay Kumar film from, I think, 2 years ago now. Which I think, first of all, the whole concept is interesting because especially in Hollywood and like all these superhero things, you see a lot of spin-off movies, right? Like, this movie became famous and this supporting role was like important. Let's make a spin-off just on that person's backstory. And we see that here with Tapsee Pannu's character in Baby now gets her own film called Naam Shabana. And it's a, again, women-centric role as well. Which is nice to see. What were your thoughts on the trailer?
Yeah, I actually am really looking forward to it. It's directed by the guy who directed, if I'm not wrong, Wednesday and what is that? Special 26.
Special Champions, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I loved both the movies when I watched them. Fantastic acting, fantastic storyline, fantastic development of the characters as well as of the storyline.
Yeah.
So I'm actually very, very excited excited to watch that movie. I think it's getting released end of March.
Yeah.
So I've already blocked my dates to watch that movie.
Yeah, no, it looks good. And Akshay Kumar, of course, has a cameo in the film. But yeah, I think, I mean, this is the kind of zone that Neeraj Pandey does really well with the two movies you mentioned, with Baby as well, which somehow, I don't know how, but I have not managed to see yet. it's on my next to play list on Hotstar, so I will watch it before Naam Shabana comes out for sure. But yeah, in other kind of stuff, movies that came out this week, Tapsee Pannu actually had two movies coming out this week. One was Running Shadi, which was a small, low-budget affair, which isn't going to go anywhere. But the other one, which is Ghazi Attack, which we talked about a couple of podcasts ago, has actually got really good reviews and is doing reasonably well in the box office. So if you are looking for like a war film to get in the mood before Rangoon next week, Ghazi Attack may not be a bad option.
I just googled it while you were talking about it. It's got an 8.9 on 10 on IMDb. Wow.
Yeah, it's supposed to be done. That's really pretty. Well. And the trailer looked good as well. It's a very specific, I mean, it's like a war at sea film, like about submarines and stuff.
Right.
Which itself, the India making a movie like that is extremely unusual.
Yeah.
And it's actually a Telugu production, if I'm not wrong. Like, Rana Dagubati is the main character and it's made simultaneously in Telugu and in Hindi, but it has a lot of familiar faces like Tapsee Pannu, KK Menon, couple of others. So yeah, I don't think, unfortunately, we will have time to do a podcast on it next week because Rangoon will come and that's a big release, so I think I'll prioritize that. The reason Jolly LLB was delayed last week was partly because it's wedding season in Bombay, and also partly because we are working on the Bollywood Weekly Awards show, and we thought we would release that last week to fill in the gap, but due to technical issues...
That's a lie, guys. I'm telling you, Pish is super, super popular in Bombay and he has to attend weddings every day. So that is the real reason.
No, that's not at all the case. I did have to attend a wedding last weekend, which is why I thought I'll put up these awards and that'll take up this gap from the podcast. But our director and editor, Mr. Satyan Rao, encountered some technical issues. But he is working on them literally as we speak. And if all goes well, the awards will be out by the time you hear this. But I purposely didn't say that at the start of the episode in case it's not out by the time you hear this. In which case, I will delete this last sentence. So
what are the awards for, by the way?
The awards are basically Bollywood Weekly's pick of best of 2016. So we have a bunch of categories, standard categories of best actor, best film, and all of that. The idea is I wanted to do a video podcast, like a panel type discussion where we discuss the best movies of last year. Since a lot of people have been experimenting with video podcasts, and in general, podcasts in India are not that popular, whereas YouTube is. We thought we would try to experiment with video, but just the basic format of people sitting in a room and talking and putting that up as a podcast was not, I found that a bit boring and I wanted to do something different. So we tried to make it such that we have the live podcast. I mean, we have the podcast panel discussion, but we also kind of set it up in the format of an award show. So in between each award category that we talk about, we have like different segments and skits and performances and all this stuff. And we try to make it funny and stuff as well. So it's like a highly experimental video shot with zero budget, barring Satyan's time. But so we'll see how it turns out.
Clearly, it has been very expensive for Satyan.
In terms of time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it has been a cost to him. Yeah. But yeah, so listeners, when you watch it, do let us know your feedback and what you think. And whether we should keep trying to do other stuff like that.
Tell me something like, do you guys have nominations first? Like directly going into the best?
No, we have nominations. So the full list of nominees is up on the website. So if you go to TIC Productions India/awards, you'll see the each of the categories. And then when you click on each category, there's a little paragraph write-up on each film and why it's nominated or what are the... not film, I mean for best actor, best actress, everything. So that's if you also can also use it as...
Will do.
Inspiration of things to watch and catch up on Netflix and other streaming sites. Movies that we missed last year. Cool. Do you have anything else? Anything else that caught your eye in Bollywood?
No, I think I've covered almost all the points that I wanted to talk about.
Good stuff, man. Thank you for doing this and stepping in.
Of course. Thanks, Fish. And I think it was a fun session. I'd like to do more of these.
Yeah, for sure. We'll definitely get you back. Possibly for Naam Shabana, since you have already marked it down on your calendar.
Will do. Let's talk soon.
Awesome. Cheers.
See you guys. Hope you had fun.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.